Now, look, South Australia's horse industry has got on the front foot to deal with climate change. It's come up with an action plan for its members. We'll hear from Julie Fiedler in a moment, who's Executive Officer of Horse SA. But first, let's find out what it's actually like for a horse owner on the ground trying to prepare for a changing climate. I spoke earlier to Jacqueline Raphael from Gawler in South Australia.
The summers have definitely been getting hotter. When we first moved out here, sort of 45, 48 was the hottest. The last few summers we've regularly had days over 50. The rainfall's up and down, but this winter in particular was very, very cold, which is something that I've never felt before.
Wow, so you get the extremes, do you?
Yes, yeah. Yes, the extremes seem to be, they fluctuate quite dramatically at the moment. The seasons seem to be changing, but I think that's Australia-wide.
How do the horses cope when it peaks above 50 degrees?
We hose them down regularly. We've got lots of trees that we've planted around, so there's lots of shelter. Because we're on the plains, there's always a breeze.
Yeah.
No matter what the weather's like, there's always a breeze. So as they perspire, the breeze does cool them. They do have shady areas to stand in when they're out in the paddocks. When they're in the stables, we've got trees around the stables, but we've also got stables where we can put up shade sails to help keep them cool. We don't have enclosed stables, we have open stables, so again they get that breeze to help cool them down.
So where do you get your water from?
Water, every building, every outbuilding and basically any structure on the property has a rainwater tank attached to it, so we utilise rainwater a lot. We do have mains water, but that's getting increasingly expensive. Even our septic, because we're not on main sewage, we're on septic, and we've got one of those enviro cycles, so we can pump the water out to wherever we want to channel it. So we put it out onto shelter belts as we're getting them established. We use it on pastures when we're getting that established.
Mm-hmm.
We use every ounce of water. We waste none.
When you first heard of the action plan, the climate change action plan for horses, what were your thoughts?
Well, I'd never really thought about it. And when I went along to the course and spoke more and more with Horse SA, it was amazing, just things that you hadn't thought of that you needed to think of, and I think more people need to think about it.
Jacqueline Raphael from Gawler, a horse owner there in South Australia. Julie Fiedler's with me as well, who's the Executive Officer of Horse SA. Julie, welcome to the program.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Good, good. Why did you suddenly decide? What prompted the idea that you needed a climate change action plan?
I guess a number of our members had been talking about it. So I guess they talk about things differently. The hay's cut a little bit later in the season, or they noticed that the bushfire behaviour had been a little bit different. So it just caused me to think about it from an organisational perspective.
So what predictions or observations have you based the action plan on?
In June 2012, we ran a workshop and we actually brought horse owners together with some SARDI scientists and Gary Muscatello from Sydney University, and that provided an opportunity on the day to match, I guess, scientific information with anecdotal information.
So we heard there a little bit about just how the higher temperatures make managing horses day-to-day problematic, but we didn't touch on things like disease risks at all. Do you prepare for changing in disease risks as well as the climate changes?
Yes. Certainly in South Australia in the last couple of years we've noticed some changes. After Cyclone Yasi, that must have changed conditions slightly, and we had Kunjun virus come through our state quite prolifically. And also too, the fruit bats that potentially carry Hendra are now roosting in Adelaide, which is not heard of before.
Yeah, but why, if you have a cyclone in the north of Australia, how does that affect South Australia?
I think Cyclone Yasi was particularly large and the tail actually whipped around to South Australians.
Okay, so then that led to these observations on the properties. Now, this plan, it seems to have sparked a bit of interest from horse owners in the United States. I hear they've followed suit, if you like, to come up with plans in the Northern Hemisphere to deal with climate change. What's happened there?
Yes, we actually, the work that we've done was picked up through Elaine Blicker at Horses Land, Horses for Clean Water in the United States, and through King's Conservation District, they actually ran a horse keeping climate change conference in April this year and had their own sort of guest list, and it was really good. It was actually based on all the work that we'd done.
So are you surprised then that you've got, say, the places in the Northern Hemisphere following suit, but not so much other states in Australia?
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things. Sort of have to go offshore and come back on again. But I guess horse owners talk about climate change differently. They might talk about it as sustainable land management, or they might talk about it as building resilience into things that they do. So it's really the language that sits around it. It's, I think you'll find that a lot of actions are already been undertaken.
So is that one of the keys there, that when you talk about the adaptation, you base it on observations on the property, resilience, like you say, try to avoid the use of the phrase climate change?
Well, it's not so much avoiding it, it's just embedding it into the language that is what horse owners use. So when people talk about the different seasons, they're cutting their hay in or preparing their property for bushfires, you're talking about, well, how are you going to recover as well? So what are you putting into place that you can get back to business straight away?
Yeah. All right. Well, it's an interesting initiative. Thanks for telling us all about it, Julie. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Julie Fiedler, Executive Officer of Horse SA, based in Adelaide. You're listening to Bush Telegraph. You're on RN.